know, they often say that if you've been going through sort of a stale place in your relationship, go out and see them at a party, watch them in the walk across the room, watch them do their job, like get up and give a speech or run a meeting, because it's so hot to see your partner in their power. And so to see them having a lot of pleasure with somebody else could also be a great turn on. Like, look how hot my partner is doing their thing, whether it's having sex with someone else or leading a meeting in the boardroom. It can all be hot. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. You all leave the best, most thoughtful questions, and I love answering them. In today's mashup hotline call episode, I'm answering your questions like, is it okay to get turned on thinking about my partner with someone else? How can we maintain intimacy amid financial stress? Is it okay to be a feminist and also like to be submissive in the bedroom? And so much more in today's episode. We cover a lot. Plus, get excited for next year because we are bringing back live calls because I've so missed talking with you all. So please keep leaving me your voicemails and emails, and I may just reach out to speak with you live. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to this show. My new article, Last Minute Amazon Prime Panic Gifts for Lovers and Friends, is up on sexwithemily.com. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
Hey, my name is Rachel. I am 31 years old from North Carolina. I just had a question. So I have been with my husband for 6 years now. I'm a bisexual woman and he is aware. Recently, we've been having conversations about me sleeping with other women. I haven't slept with a woman since we've been together. But last year, I met a guy and I just felt very attracted to him. And since we have been together, I have never felt like this before. I felt crazy. You know, I was just like, oh my God, I really want to sleep with this person. Like, this is not normal. I've never felt like this. Like, I'm married, blah, blah. And I told this to my husband, and I feel like I would really like the idea of having an open relationship. But we've talked about it a couple of times, but he just thinks marriage is just supposed to be man, woman together forever. And I don't really know if that's realistic thinking about it. I mean, I guess for some people, but I don't know. I just have a lot of feelings about all this. And I feel like every time I try to talk to him, he thinks I'm being pushy and I'm not. So that's why for months I haven't even really brought it up. I don't know. I just wanted to know some ways or resources on how I can approach this topic without coming across as pushy. It is something that I would like to explore, and not just with women, but with men as well. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for your question. I think this is really going to be so relatable and so helpful for others. I can't tell you how many people I'm hearing from lately. You remember after almost 2 decades of doing this work here with Sex with Emily, I realized in recent years I'm hearing a lot more from couples who are talking about being more open in their relationship, being a little bit more flexible, both partners talking about opening up or wanting to be bisexual. So I think it's really great that you are recognizing this and advocating for what you desire. So you said you haven't slept with a woman since you announced you're bisexual, but you met a guy and you're attracted to the guy. And so now you've talked to your husband about opening it up. And he's just like, you know, gosh, no. And I'm telling you that, side note, I would say the majority or many open relationships that I know about that are successful, because those are the ones I want to tell you about, started with one person being into it and one person being like, hell no. There is zero ways that I am going to be in a relationship with my partner I love sleeping with anyone else. I don't care what their body parts, that is a no. I did not sign up for this and I'm out. What I've also found though is after a little more time and communication and thinking about it, what it actually looks like, that for the couples where being open is a fit, they can make this work, because really it's about strong communication, like super healthy communication. In fact, it's over communication. And the couples that I found that are in non-monogamous relationships, open relationships, swinging, they practice this rigorous honesty and exhaustive communication that allows them to navigate jealousy, boundaries, desires, just feelings and rules and all the things that go along with having an open relationship. So the most important thing here is to kind of slow down the conversation. I don't think you're in a place to be pushing actually being with someone else right now, but exploring why you want this relationship. What do you think it'll do for you? Like, the thing is, a lot of our partners might just say, nope, I'm not into it. Because what they think is like, how would I be able to handle this excruciating jealousy of you being with someone else? And so that's just where they just say no. But once you start to think about it and talk about it, what it might actually look like perhaps it would be every time you were with someone else, he was there. And maybe he finds like, oh, that's something I'd really be turned on by, especially if you didn't go home with the person or you didn't make out with the person. Couples who have healthy alternative relationships tend to negotiate what feels good to them, and they are often updating those rules. So for example, couples might take penetration off the table. They might take sleepovers off the table. They don't want anyone in their friend group, or they do want someone in their friend group, or how you meet somebody. There's a lot of other ways to slice this. But if this is really something that you feel like is a non-negotiable for you, you know, a couple counselor could really help you guys figure out where you stand and if it can work. And I'm also wondering how your sex life is overall. Actually, that is the most important thing, because this is not a fix for a stale sex life. Opening it up, having a threesome, bringing in another person is not going to rekindle a lost sex drive or a boring sex life. It's just not. It's going to come from a place where you guys are in a really solid place. You're exploring, you're open, you're communicating desires, and you're communicating fantasies, and you're in like a really great place. And the reason why open sounds really great to you is because it's going to be additive. You're going to start to experiment with other lovers and be able to talk about it. And as a result of that, that's going to turn you on, where couples get to a place called compersion. And compersion is a place in a relationship where you actually are aroused and turned on by your partner's pleasure, because you love them so much that you want their fantasies to be met. You want them to live the sex life that they desire, that they crave. Now, again, you're not there yet. We're still getting you guys to be on the same page about this. But since you are married to your partner and it might take a little work, I would recommend going into couples therapy. But also, there are some great resources. There's some great books that I also recommend. I recommend Opening Up by Tristan Taramino. I recommend The Ethical Slut by Dossie Easton. I recommend a book by Kate Lurie called Open Deeply, A Guide to Building Conscious, Compassionate, Open Relationships. So however you guys learn together, reading some books, educating yourself around what it would mean to be open is going to be crucial here, because neither one of you have done this before. Your partner might feel threatened and very unsafe, and we don't want that, right? Let's work this through with your partner in a very conscious, deliberate, heartfelt way, where it's not about your agenda or his agenda. It's about you guys saying, you know what? Let's not even talk about labeling it, but let's figure out how we can deepen our intimacy, become better lovers and excellent communicators, so we can figure out where our sex life and our relationship is going in our next chapter. If your relationships are constantly evolving and growing, which they should be, they are living, breathing entities, guess what happens? They die. So continue to grow together, continue to explore, and see what happens. I think you're going to like it. This is for all of you. Have you all talked about your sex life lately? Have you talked about your relationship? I love the ideas of relationships renewing contracts every few years and having like, here's our commitment to each other for our sex life, for our intimacy, how we're going to prioritize pleasure, how we're going to grow as lovers. I mean, talk about that stuff before you walk down the aisle. Please, please beg all of you. We have Heather, 34, in Detroit.
I'm reaching out because, like a lot of other people in this country right now, my boyfriend and I are really struggling financially, and I feel like it's taking a toll on the entire relationship, taking a toll on our communication. And so far, our sex life has always been great. It hasn't been a problem, but I worry that all these stresses will bleed into our sex life. So I guess my question is, what is a good way to kind of unwind and check out to be able to tune in to each other's bodies, regardless of what's going on the other side of it? And I am sober, so no glasses of wine or anything. I wanted to know if you had any other recommendations.
Thank you so much, Heather, from my hometown. First off, yeah, like let's just normalize the fact that it's a rough time for everybody right now. Either it's politically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, we're living in a really interesting time right now. And I want to remind you that when we are stressed or anxious, it's one of the pleasure thieves that I write about in my book, Smart Sex, it's going to impact our ability to be connected and have great sex. Because arousal and stress cannot live in the same moment. They cancel each other out. So it would make sense that you have fear about it taking over your sexual connection. Also, this question of being sober, which I'm telling you, I feel like alcohol is being canceled lately. I feel like it's really, there's just a lot more people who are realizing that it's just not working for them, which I just like to hear that. If you're drinking, no worries about it. Happy holidays. Have one for me. But it is an adjustment for people who don't stop drinking. I don't know if she just stopped or not drinking, because a lot of times we use it as like a liquid courage. Mm-hmm. We have a drink. We get into sex. Let me give you a few things that you and your boyfriend can do to sort of get you in the mood and feel connected and tune into each other. You know, the thing why we love wine is because it takes away our inhibitions and our thoughts just sort of go into the ether and we can sort of focus on our partner. But another way to do that is by getting more embodied, which is the first pillar of sex IQ, and that is through calming our nervous system. So our nervous system is that fight or flight. It's the old part of our brain that's telling us we're in danger. And what that does is that our breath quickens and our heart starts racing, and it's really hard to actually feel anything when we're in that state. So you and your partner could practice doing some eye gazing together where you're sitting on the floor, light some candles, some music, maybe some meditation music, some spa music. There's a few apps that I love. I love Insight Timer app. I really like the breathing app. Erica and I do it before the episode. It's just literally just called breathing, and there's like 5-3 minutes of breathing. So what happens is when you sit on the floor and you face each other and you stare into each other's eyes, not only are you connected by looking at each other's eyes, but eventually your breath will start to catch up with each other and you'll start breathing together. And when we do this, our entire body will start to calm down. We'll start to feel more in our body, more connected and more relaxed. Our thoughts will quiet. Now, this is a practice. It's not going to happen right away. But if you sort of set the scene for your partner and you kind of just do this for 3 minutes, so from there, you're probably already feeling calmer at this moment. And remember to amplify all of the senses. So you got your favorite playlist, a candle that smells good. You have some like water by you or whatever you might need to be tasting, or your favorite drink. And then from there, you can practice. You can each take turns massaging each other. And remember, it doesn't have to be a sexual massage. You could set the timer for 15 minutes. He lays down and you massage him. And then you lay down and he massages you. And this practice of massaging and releasing tension is all working to help calm your nervous system, which is what's responsible for the way that we show up in the world. So a combination of breathing and touch and looking to each other's eyes are all ways that you can sort of calm and be present. Another idea is to get one of these amazing card games they have that ask you questions about your sex life or talk about what you love about each other. If you could be a dessert, what dessert would you be? But these are fun ways to focus our attention. So we're not just trying to come up with things to talk about. And it sort of can get your mindset into the mood of connection and play. Because we all just stop playing so much. We stop learning about our partners. We stop exploring. So this could be a fun way to really connect in a different, unique way with each other.
Another thing that you talk about in your book is how we're not taught to prioritize pleasure. And even listening to you right now, I'm sure a lot of listeners will say like, yeah, that sounds great, spending an hour doing a massage. We don't have the time in the day for that. Like the nights go by so fast. And I think as you've said many times before, it's a really conscious decision to decide, oh no, we are going to set aside an hour tonight to make this happen.
Yeah. I mean, really, what else are you doing? We all look at our time in our day. That 15 minutes you spent scrolling on Instagram or TV, you could easily take that time and put it into your pleasure package for the year and say, like, I'm going to just have a pleasure percentage of time. I'm going to prioritize pleasure with my partner, and we can all find time. And it doesn't have to be an hour. It could be a half hour. Mm-hmm. It could be just, you know, twice a day in the morning. Also, there's been research about couples who give each other a 30-second hug in the morning before they leave for work. It starts to get your oxytocin released, which is our cuddle hormone. And that all helps for us to feel connected, because a lot of times we're just feeling disconnected. So all the things I'm talking about here will also help battle your stress and your anxiety, because they're all working on the same pathways. And so if you could say, well, even if this is just for your mental health, you're going to do these things with your partner. Because a lot of times we thinking that we're craving sex, but really we're just craving connection, intimacy, mm-hmm. touch, and knowing that our partner is there for us and that we're, you know, connected and a unit. And you'll find that when you do these certain exercises together, you play together, you touch each other in different ways, you have meaningful conversations that create more depth and intimacy, you will feel more connected and realize that it's the sex is part of it, but all of these other things help to maintain a lot stronger connection and enhance intimacy all around. Thank you for your question, Heather. I appreciate you so much. Don't hang up. I'm coming right back after a quick break for our sponsors who help support the podcast, including Bathmate, the world's only FDA-regulated hydropenis pump. So Bathmate uniquely harnesses the power of water through a hydraulic vacuum acting as a secondary pump to your heart to draw blood safely into the penis. It helps flush out toxins, maintain tissue health, and improve erection quality, predictability, and stamina. And get this, after 2 months, 81% of users reported better erections or size gains. All you do with their penis pump is this. You fill the hydro pump with warm water in the privacy of your shower or bath, slide your penis in, and leave it on for about 3 minutes, 3 to 5 times a week. And that's all you do for improved confidence and performance in the bedroom. So try Bathmate right now at bathmatedirect.com/sexwithemily and use code EMILY10 at checkout to receive 10% off site-wide. That's bathmatedirect.com/sexwithemily and code EMILY10 for 10% off site-wide. All right, everyone, I'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code EMILY. That's EMILY at hero.co.
Hi, Emily. My name is Brittany. I'm 38 from Phoenix. My husband and I have been together for 15 years, so we have been experimenting in the bedroom. Just a quick question if this is normal or not. However, I am a feminist. I do not like disrespect with women and all of that horrible stuff that comes along with porn and stuff. We do like to enjoy watching porn together. Sometimes it turns me on, but how do I help myself the next day when I'm feeling embarrassed or guilty or embarrassed for the things that I've said during intimate moments? Because in general life, I don't feel that way. I don't, let's say, maybe I wanted a little bit of rough play, or I made a comment about something that turned me on in the moment, but the next day I kind of have some regret. I'm just curious how I can work through that, because it kind of alters how the night goes, because it will get stuck in my head, and I try not to. Thank you. Have a great day.
I love this question, Brittany. This is such a great question. I love this question. You're saying, like, how can I be a feminist? Like, how can I ask for equal pay and also to be choked in the bedroom? Like, how can I say I want equal rights and I want to be spanked sometimes? Like, well, how does that work as a woman? It is very, very confusing, especially as a feminist. Let me just reframe this for you, because I get it. It's really confusing. You're like, how could I have acted that way? And I really, you know, care so much about my rights, and I'm so respectful of women, and I don't really agree with porn, and it's confusing. But what I want to tell you this is, remember that you have agency over your body. That means that you are in control of your body. You have choices. You get to decide what feels good to you, what your turn-ons are. And I got to tell you this. Rough sex and desiring rough sex can actually coincide with being a feminist, because you're actually choosing. You're in control. It's actually empowering, arguably more powerful than the giver, because through all rough sex, and if you're playing the submissive, the vulva owner is in power. Like, even if you're choosing to relinquish your power and saying you're in control, that's your power, right? And it's all in the sake of your pleasure. So to me, the most empowering thing in the world is a vulva owner who says, this is what I need. This is what I want. There's no way we're going to be doing any of this rough talk outside the bedroom. But in this moment, for my eroticism and my desire, this is actually a requirement right now for my arousal. Because again, rough sex is your choice. Maybe in some of the porn you're seeing, you're feeling like, oh, is there a choice, or does she really like that? That's why I often recommend more ethical porn. Rough sex is pushing boundaries that you have created for yourself. So do you see what I'm saying? To reframe it, like, you've decided, you have agency over this, and you also are dating a partner who is equally respectful of your boundaries. And he's also saying, I'm going to be on board for what you want because I respect you and I am all about your pleasure and what you require to be turned on. Let's talk about the opposite of this. Like, what kind of sex is not for feminists? It's if someone was telling you, this is how it should look. This is what you need to be doing. Sex that's more performative. Sex that's more about your partner's pleasure, where you're like, I'm just going to let him tie me up because it's what he wants, but it doesn't actually feel good to me. You know, sex that isn't consensual. Sex that isn't negotiated beforehand. So I feel like you are in a relationship right now with a partner who is all about collaborating, consenting, and working together to co-create a beautiful experience. So really, I would love you to be able to enjoy this experience without apologizing for it, and just kind of reframing this as saying, like, wow, this is actually the most feminist empowering thing I can do, is to be in charge and in control of my own desires and my own fantasies. Now, another thing to think about is, like, are there other areas in your life where shame has come up, where you feel you have a shame over in the morning? That's what I like to call these things. We wake up in the morning, we're like, I feel so bad about that one night stand, or I feel so bad about what I did, which is really, really common. And then I like to look at shame. I like to drill down on shame and say, well, where does this come from? Where else am I feeling shame in my life? What's the root of this shame? And usually when we find the root of the shame, it's because we are violating some invisible boundary that we didn't even plant there. Could have been planted by a religious figure in your life or your caregivers that said sex is wrong. You shouldn't have sex. You shouldn't do these things, blah, blah, blah. And so we create stories in our head that actually rob us of pleasure. Hope this kind of gives you a reset, a reframe, so you can continue to have sex on your terms that feel the most pleasurable and exciting for you. All right. Thank you so much, Brittany. So appreciate your call. This is from Marion. She's 29 in Ohio.
So I've been with my partner for about 2 years, and everything is going really well. We have a pretty good sex life, but I've been experiencing some weird things lately. We have been watching a lot of porn together, which usually I initiate. because I just like it. It feels good. And I've found that I am getting really turned on by the thought of him being with somebody else. Lately, it's even been hard for me to get turned on or to come to climax without the thoughts, like without the dirty talk. And it makes me a little bit nervous because I don't necessarily want that to happen in real life. It's just fun to think and fantasize about. But I'm just wondering what you think about why it's like the only way I can climax easily now. Does that mean that I should try to stop watching porn with him and slow down these fantasies? Or is it okay to just continue on? Okay, thank you.
All right, Miriam, thank you so much for your question. And I love that you and your partner are watching porn, having good sex, trying out new things. This sounds really healthy and a good time to me.
I love it.
Let me just clarify one thing. I'm going to remind all of you. There's two kinds of fantasies. There's the fantasies that you fantasize about and you think, that would be so nice one day if that could happen. I would really love to have a threesome with my partner, or Miriam, in your case, watch him have sex with someone else. The other kind of fantasies are the ones that we just like to fantasize about. We like to use them as tools during sex. We kind of play it in our brain and we know what happens. We use it as fodder for arousal, but we don't necessarily want it to happen. So I just want to clarify that and normalize that for everybody. Doesn't mean anything's wrong or you definitely want something to happen because you fantasize about it. I think this sounds like a fun way to play. It's transparent. He knows what you're fantasizing about or what you're talking about. But it sounds like it's getting to be a little bit much for you, and you're noticing that now it feels like I have to be doing this one thing and thinking this one thought. And I can get why that could be a little bit alarming. So my recommendation is to keep watching different kinds of porn with your partner, or maybe you could act out some of your own porn scenarios together. You could even film yourselves having sex and make your own porn. Is there any role playing or anything else that inspires you? Because the more you diversify your fantasies and come up with other things to play around with and other scenarios that turn you on, that'll really help you not get locked into this one thing that's working for you. And why I love that you're asking this is because so many of us struggle with, there's one way I can orgasm, there's one thought that I have to have, there's one position, and then we sort of get set in our ways. We do that over and over and over again, and it can be hard to change. But right now you're saying, this is what's been happening for me and I want to try something else. So the sooner you can just sort of see what else is out there for you guys, it sounds like your sex life is just blossoming, try it. But also, don't shame yourself if this is the place that you go to and what you require right now for arousal. There is no right or wrong here, but in answering your question, I'm just letting you know that there are some things you can do to play around with your orgasm.
And I think we've talked about this before on the show, but just as a reminder, why do so many people find it hot to imagine their partner with someone else?
Oh God, yeah, I didn't even get to that fantasy. Isn't that funny, you guys? I'm like, oh yeah, the fantasy about watching your partner sleep with someone else.
Every other person.
That's common too. That is a very common fantasy as well. I'd say it's probably split. Maybe more, a little more than half are thinking, oh God, I would never want that fantasy. That's my biggest nightmare, is my partner with anybody else. I don't want my partner to like another person on Instagram. And now you're going to fantasize like, what's going on here? But remember, we are all built differently. We all have different mechanisms in our brain that allow us to find other things hot and other things not so hot. There's a few reasons why people have this fantasy. So maybe for Miriam, when she's watching that, it feels like this naughty transgression. It's taboo. We're not supposed to do it. And we all know what happens. You know, like think about when we're kids and like, don't touch the stove. And you touch the stove. Like, we want to do things that we are told we cannot do, and that have a little bit of fear around it. And remember, when we are in an arousal state, dopamine, serotonin, all the feel-good hormones that start spiking will do that, whether you're fantasizing about something that you are feeling like, I don't want that to happen, but it's so hot, I can't stop looking. Arousal is funny. Think about like pleasure and pain. Sometimes we wonder, well, how could we feel pain and pleasure at the same time? Well, it's because those receptors are so closely linked. And the same thing goes for the links in our brain between what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes what's wrong can sort of send our bodies really into an arousal state when we're having this surge of dopamine or serotonin that's allowing us to feel something, that your brain doesn't matter the content. Your brain isn't monitoring and saying, that would be so hard to actually deal with in real life. Your brain is going, that's really exciting. It's measuring excitement And that's stimulating all your arousal mechanisms. And so that's why in your brain, you can make sense of this and flip it into arousal. And other people would identify with, you know, maybe people who have been cheated on or maybe people who felt really unsafe in relationships couldn't even go towards this fantasy. But Miriam, I'm guessing maybe you're in a really secure relationship right now. You feel really safe with your partner. And so therefore, it's also safe for you to fantasize in areas that might otherwise feel scary to other people.
I feel like if you feel secure in your relationship, sometimes it can be hot to be reminded that, oh, my partner's such a catch. Like, oh, so many other people find my partner attractive too, but I know that they're mine.
It can be really hot. You know, they always often say that if you've been going through, you know, sort of a stale place in your relationship, go out and see them at a party, watch them in the walk right. across the room, watch them do their job, like get up and give a speech or run a meeting, because it's so hot to see your partner in their power. And so to see them having a lot of pleasure with somebody else could also be a great turn on. Like, look how hot my partner is doing their thing, whether it's having sex with someone else or leading a meeting in the boardroom. It can all be hot.
I also feel like in addition to it just being fodder for eroticism, that's such a healthy mindset to have in a relationship of just wanting your partner to thrive and be their own individual person.
Yeah.
And the best relationships are when you grow together, but also as individuals alongside each other.
Yeah. We grow together and your partner is supporting you along the way and mm-hmm. wants the best for you. And you know, when people who are in open relationships start to experience compersion, which is the experience of pleasure from watching your partner have pleasure. Mm-hmm. So Miriam, let's see if one of these explanations sort of resonates with you. And I hope that you continue to have fun and play and explore with your partner. Keep us posted.
We hear a lot about people who say, I have to be thinking about this one thing to orgasm. I have to be picturing or fantasizing this thing. Do you think that's ever a problem? Or is it like, no, you know what you need? Get there, regardless of what the fantasy is.
I only think things are a problem when they become a problem and there's consequences. Mm-hmm. So let's say the fact that you always have to think about someone with red hair every single time and you just, that's been your go-to for 10 years now. That's all you could think of. And you get to the point where you're so over it and you want it to change. So sex isn't even enjoyable for you anymore. Mm. That's when it's a problem. Or maybe you feel like it's a problem because you're thinking this thing and then you're completely disassociated during sex and you feel less connected to your partner. Or, you know, there's a lot of other reasons why that could be a problem. I think in this case, you know, again, you don't want to pathologize yourself if there's nothing wrong, but it is great to find other ways and other fantasies to layer in. Because if you've got one go-to thing that works for you, it's not because that was ordained, because you came out of the womb with this fantasy and you can never change it. Just like we change careers, we change kind of television we watch, we may work up, mix up our workout routines. The same thing goes for our sex life. But since we don't talk about this, we often just shame ourselves or think something's wrong. But I'm encouraging everybody to continue to explore your sexual desires and what turns you on. The world is filled with content and scenarios and places you can travel and go in your mind or in life where you could find things that will also add to your arousal. But I think we just get so set, like I am having sex and I'm going to pull out this go-to thought and now it's over, that we don't often look at it in a more of a playful way and more of an exploratory way and mm-hmm. wondering like what else is possible. We just mm-hmm. don't go there until you ask that. And now think of all the people who are going to be mixing up their fantasies tonight.
I love it. And that's probably a good thing to try during solo sex. So you don't feel the pressure of having to orgasm within a certain period of time. It's just like, no, let's see what other thoughts can get me to climax.
It's kind of a fun game, mm-hmm. right? So I think you guys should play some kind of like Russian roulette with porn. Like maybe you pick one and he picks one.
I love that.
And you get to just like, you know, pick one thing and you each get to once a week bring something new, completely new. And I think you'll be surprised to find where else you find the breadcrumbs to your arousal. Thanks, Miriam.
Hi, my name's Annalise. I'm 26 and I live in Virginia. I am still a virgin. I have never been in a serious relationship before and am really kind of diving into the dating game and dating apps and wanting to have sex. It's the first time I felt ready to have sex. And now that I'm ready, I'm like, kind of eager to just do it. I guess my question is, how open should I be with guys when I'm meeting them about the situation? Should I just let them know right off the bat, like, hey, I'm a virgin, I'm looking to have sex, and just experience it?
I've masturbated and I'm comfortable with that. I understand my body and the orgasms, but I've just never involved another person. And so that's kind of my question about just approaching it and how to handle it with guys. So thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for your question. And let me tell you this. Totally acceptable, totally cool, okay to have waited to have sex until now. I'd like to eradicate the word virgin from the lexicon and use sexual debut, because virgin is sort of throwback where women were like losing their virginity or giving up their virginity. But I like to think of it as like, this is your debut. This is the time that you're stepping out and you're saying, hey, I'm open for business. Who gets to come into my store? Who's going to come in and please me and have this experience? Who's going to be the lucky person? It's an exciting time that you're ready. I love that you've been exploring your body, that you've masturbated, that you understand what feels good. And now you've decided that you are ready. And let me just tell you this, that there's so many people who aren't ready and they do it because they feel like, oh, well, I better do it if I go to college. I'm just going to grab some random person and do it. It's a very common scenario that I hear from. So I do not think that you should just do it. I'm not sure, you didn't mention any of this, but there might be a little bit of shame or concern that you're going to be judged because you're 26 years old. And I just want to say, well, first, I'm hearing from a lot more people who are waiting longer to have sex until they're ready, which I love. Right? I love that it's a lower pressure situation. I think it is more acceptable. But also, there are zero things to be ashamed about, that you actually had agency over your decisions and your body, and you made a decision based on where you were in your life, what you wanted. You lived a full life, you've done other things, and now you're ready. To me, that is so sexy and so empowering and so powerful to be that woman who's like, you know what? Wasn't ready before. Now I am. Let's see what this is all about. It's a very different way of thinking about it, rather than, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry I haven't done it yet. Who says you should have done it already? Like, where are the rules that you should already have had sex by a certain age? Listen, we all get to decide what feels good for us, what doesn't, where we want to be in our sexuality and in our experiences. And mostly this is about communication and feeling good about where you're at and celebrating the fact that you were able to really honor your own process. And I think that is really admirable and really inspiring. I think you want to make sure that you're with someone that you feel safe with and that you trust. I'm not saying that to be your committed partner for the rest of your life, but there have been actually studies that have shown that people who just do it have some regret later. It doesn't feel as satisfying and it's not as pleasurable. Because if you're just doing it in silence, you're not telling the person that this is a really huge moment for you and you're not sharing that, it can be very, very lonely. So what I'm saying is, I don't think that having sex for the first time should be something you just check off the list. I want you to be more purposeful and intentional about it. Take time getting to know people. Meet people out in the world. See if there's someone you actually connect with or try the apps. And definitely start dating and flirting. And there's just no rush, right? You're 26 years old and now you know you're ready, but it doesn't mean it has to happen tomorrow. And I don't want you to rush into penetrative sex either, because remember, the majority of vulva owners aren't going to even orgasm penetration. I'm not saying it's all about orgasm, but I just want you to feel the pressure until you're ready for it. I want you to know that through dating and meeting potential partners and just feeling a little bit safer with someone, knowing they're actually a good person, is going to make sure this experience is a lot more enjoyable for both of you. And I recommend sharing that you haven't had sex yet with the person. I'm not into don't tell the person because it's a secret. I mean, come on, it's a really big deal. And you want to be someone who's going to celebrate with you, hold space for you, and be a great partner in this really exciting experience. Make it feel as pleasurable and safe and memorable, satisfying as possible. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.